Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at casting a shadow. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, I thank you for our time together and our time in the scriptures. We ask you one more time to open your scriptures to us that we may understand, that we may see, and that we may know. And we ask you for the grace to open ourselves to your scriptures that they may transform us, change us, build us, and make us useful to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, today we're going to look at casting a shadow. For those of you who are watching the calendar, we did just pass Groundhog's Day, one of my favorite holidays, of secular holidays, because I always think it's the holiday for hope. I just was visiting some of my family who live in a very warm and sunny climate. So they don't understand that in the cold climates that I live in, we look for any excuse to start gauging when spring will come, when the cold weather will break, when the overcast, gloomy days go, and when we can look forward to the earth awakening again. So for me, Groundhog's Day has always been fun. But I was thinking of it scripturally. And, of course, there's a great deal in the scriptures about shadows abiding under the shadow of his wing. There's lots of that. People who sit in the shadow of death, the shadow of darkness, all those things which are not so much fun. But there are a couple of other instances of shadows. The people line the streets that Peter's shadow may fall on them. And then there was, I think about Jonah, that was a healing shadow, if I say that, I guess. Then there was Jonah, who had a teaching shadow. He was harumphing about some things in his life, and God took him out to the edge of a place, let a gourd grow up over him, and he was grateful for the shadow, and then a worm ate the leaf, and the shadow withered. So that was a teaching shadow. But I want to look at the shadow we cast. It isn't actually a shadow. This is actually sort of really profile, but I think we can stretch it for that. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles, if you've got them with you while you're wherever you are listening, to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, by then we are far enough along in David's reign as king and who will be his successors, etc. 2 Samuel, we're about verse 18. This is when David, who had never withdrawn from a fight, never was showed fear or worry or anxiety. No matter what enemies he faced giants, he faced vicious kings, he faced all kinds of external foes. But then when his own son became his foe, he did not know how to handle that well. He fled from the city, and he took various people with him, various things with him, and he left various of his advisors in the city, one of whom was Zadok, and he had a son whose name was Ahimaaz, who stayed with him in the city. And Joab was another of those. Zadok and Joab were the two that he left in the city. And he still had some loyal people there. That's kind of where we open up at this point. David had never run from a foe. Sometimes he did some strategic retreating, and sometimes maybe we should learn to do that a bit, but he'd never let fear take him. But it was when his foe was internal that, you know, his son, it was somebody that cut close to his heart. Anyway, so he packed up his crew, and there were some that so wanted to go with him, and he asked them to just stay where you are. I'll need you there. Anyway, so that's where we are in 2 Samuel chapter 18. And then there was a great battle, and in that battle, Absalom was killed. And so Joab comes back. Oh, okay, we'll pick it up about verse 18, Absalom in his lifetime taken and reared a pillar for himself. That's why, you know, sometimes we can be so afraid of how we're going to be remembered. I think last time we talked about anonymity and significance versus success. Well, sometimes we can be so overcome with a desire to be remembered, we don't necessarily let ourselves be remembered for what we have done by others. He called this pillar after his own name. Okay, and we can go on and on and on. But we're going to pick up the story in verse 19. So this is, at one hand, David is, let's see if we can, let me go back to find where David is. We'll jump ahead, we'll read it later, but so you can see in verse 24 of 18, it says, David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up on the roof over the gates of the wall and lifted up his eyes. And that's where we see the shadow or the profile, the outline that the man sees. But that's where David is. He's sitting there waiting for news of the battle. Of course, he wants to win the battle because he doesn't want to be overthrown. At the same time, he does not want his son to be defeated. Anyway, so Absalom did. Joab blew the trumpet, verse 16, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held the people back. There is such a thing as a measured victory. We don't need to always totally decimate an enemy, because sometimes the enemy is to whom we are to minister. Anyway, so Absalom died. Verse 19, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. So here's Zadok. Remember, he was a young man, and he had stayed in the city, and it chafed against him. He didn't want to stay back with the old men. He wanted to go out and fight, and so they said, no, stay here because we may need you. And he chafed against it. It bothered him. He wanted to be out. He wanted to be in the action. And sometimes that's how we are when we're young in ministry. We want to be out doing and not realize that sometimes God holds us back because we're positioned for something else. So So now the victory is over. So he's saying, fine, now that's over. Let me go. Verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz to the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. So the way Zadok, Ahimaaz saw this, this was a great victory because the enemies had been defeated. And Joab, a little bit older man, he was a general, but he was wise. And he said, No, you aren't going. You won't bear tidings this day, but you'll bear tidings another day. No, you know, you're seeing this as this great victory. Trust me, this is not the news the king wants to hear. So you know what? You just wait. You have another day coming to run. And because the king's son is dead, that will take all of the joy out of the victory. You don't want to be the one that brings that news. Okay. Verse 21, that Joab said to Cushi, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran. There are a lot of times we want to be the one to do. We want to be out there. We want to go. And it's difficult sometimes. Remember we talked about the book, the bag, and the sling, being in the bag and not being the one pulled out for the sling. But he said, no, you stay here. And then he sent Cushi on with the news. And so he ran. Sometimes it seems like, no, wait, that should be me. That shouldn't be somebody else out there. So Cushi ran with the news. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run. He said, let me run. And he just kind of held him back. No, Cushi, go, but let me also run with Cushi. And Joab said, wherefore will you run, my son, seeing as there's no tidings ready? Cushi's got that news. There's nothing, no other news to go. And verse 23, I love this verse. But howsoever, said he, let me run. He said, there's no reason to run. Just let me run. You know, when we get old, we got to have a good reason to run. When you're young, you just want to run. He said, run. And so Joab says to him, run. Just go ahead, fine. Run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain, and he did what? He overran Cushi. Cushi started before him, but it was so in his heart to run. It was so in his feet to run that even though Cushi got a head start, and even though Cushi's been given the assignment, yet Ahimaaz overran him. He started after him, but ran ahead of him. Okay, we'll get back to that in a little bit. So David sat between the gates, and he saw, and the watchman was looking for a runner. And he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, a man running alone. So verse 25, then the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, well, if he's alone, there is tidings in his mouth. So he, I mean, this is one man is a text, but so he's coming with news. If it were a retreat, then they would all be coming, you know, if it were something else. But they're sending somebody on. One man running means he's bringing news. Then, let's back up. 25, and the watchman cried and told him, the king said, if he be alone, then his tidings in his mouth. He's bringing news. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man's running alone. And the king says, well, he's also bringing news. Of course, at first we saw, you know, the one outran the one. Okay, verse 27. And the watchman said, methinks the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man, and he comes with good news. So the one was running with news, then the second one who started after him outran him and got ahead of him. And this is where I think this thing of the shadow is is marvelous, the profile, the outline. He says the running is like the running of Ahimaaz. That means I can't see his face, can't see his clothing, or can't even doesn't wear a sign, but the guy runs the way Ahimaaz runs. And I thought, how marvelous. And we've talked before, I just was reviewing some of the ones we've done before, that we use for identity. The voice is used for identity. The face is used for identity. But in this instance, the way the guy ran told the king that, and the watchman, oh, the way he's running, he runs like Ahimaaz. And I thought, how marvelous to be so known for what he was doing that even when they couldn't see it was him, they knew it was him. There are times I've been places and I hear people telling stories of what has happened, et cetera, et cetera. And they want to accredit either a doctor or a phenomenon or a fluke or whatever it may be. But I know that's the hand of God. I've seen God work before. And it doesn't even matter whether we get credit, whether we give him his name or not. I know that was God. I know that was God, that happened the way it did. You know it. If you've seen God move, you know how he moves. And so whether the person telling you the story knows it's God or not, you could tell it from afar. And I thought, how wonderful as his servants that people should be able to say, I recognize something in there is familiar. He said the running is like the running of Ahimaaz. He's a good man, and he brings good news. All right, so then we'll pick our story back up. And so Ahimaaz runs, and he calls to the king. Now remember what the news Cushi brought. And then when Ahimaaz, they wanted to run, he said, but you don't have any news. The king isn't going to want to hear his son is dead. That's how they interpreted it. So Ahimaaz called, and he fell down at the earth on his face before the king, verse 28. And he said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered unto the men, the men that lifted up their hand against my Lord and King. And so the words out of his mouth was, blessed be the Lord who's given him victory, who's defeated his enemies, that anyone who has tried to raise a hand against the king, God has brought them down. And so the king says to the young man, is Absalom safe? He didn't even say, thank God for the victory. What was on his heart was Absalom. And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. Okay. Yeah, actually, he hadn't seen the death of Absalom, had he? And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still, and behold, Cushi came. And Cushi says, tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord hath avenged this day of all them that rose up against thee. Well, that was his news, right? But by now it's old news. And the king said to Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise up against thee to do hurt. But as the young man, be as that young man. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. So it was he who had to tell him that the king's son is dead. Okay, a couple of things we want to look at. Kind of, I know it. Odd little story in a way, but I think there's some things that you're going to like. That even from far off, they could recognize the running of Ahimaaz, that we might be known for what we do even when they don't know it's us. It's not about your face or your name or your voice or, you know, your ministry. It's that the thing that God, the gifting God has given you, be lifted up, be glorified, that God receives the glory to himself through what we do. That it's not about our own grandeur, if I can say it like that. But he had it in him to run. It wasn't whether, it wasn't like, oh, I've got to do this. He just so wanted to run. Run then, run. And when he ran, he outran Cushy. Okay, so what is that leaving us? It leaves us with this. There was news. Cushy had news. The news was that Absalom was dead. But Ahimaaz says, let me go too. And Joab says, well, what have you got? He said, just let me run. And while he outran Cushy with the news of the sons of Absalom's death, he ran with the news that there was a great victory. There were two bits of news coming toward David. One was victory, and one was loss. One was good news, and one was bad news. One was welcome news, and one was unwelcome news. And they had sent Cushy out with that news. They'd sent him with heartbreaking news. It was headed toward King David. That couldn't be undone, and it couldn't be changed. But then the young man, Ahimaaz, outran him, and he brought the good news to King David, that the rebellion had been put down, that those that rose up against him were defeated, that the king was still on his throne, and that God received the glory. So what do we see out of that? What we see is that there can be things headed toward you. Whether we like it or not, things are coming at us that we might not welcome. But Ahimaaz had such a heart, he said, let me go too. And he outran him. There was good news and bad news, but the good news outran the bad news. The good things overtook the bad things. There are things that are unpleasant in our life, but even at the same time, God is sending goodness toward us. And my prayer and my belief for this section of the year, at least, if not the whole year, that our good news may outrun our bad news. That what is headed toward us that is unpleasant, something better, something good, something joy-making may run at the same time and overtake it and come to us first. Ahimaaz had it in his heart to run, and even when Joab wanted to hold him back, he realized there's no holding this boy back. Then run. Then go ahead and run. There is good news headed towards you that cannot be held back, and it will catch up with and overtake the bad news. Good is headed toward us, and it is not to be made second. It's not to take second place. It's not to be silenced. It is not to be undone by that which may be trying to come to us as well. There's good news in our lives, and it's headed toward us, and it will overtake us. And that the shadow of that thing may so come into our lives that it takes precedence over the unwelcome. The unwelcome may still be there, but when you put it in that perspective, when you see the good first, the lesser news, the heartbreaking news was good to take. It was okay to take because it was not the main focus. The main focus was the victory. The main focus was the news that Ahimaaz brought. He cast a shadow physically, actually, by the way he ran, that he was so known for being a good man and bringing good news that when they saw him running, it's like, there's something familiar there. There's something I recognize there. And I thought, how wonderful to have whatever your achievement may be or whatever your gifting or whatever it is that you do be so noteworthy that people see it, and even when they can't see you, they go, ah, yes, I recognize this. There's something familiar there, and it's good, and it will turn to my good. May we cast a shadow, and may that shadow be good. May we cast a profile that even from afar, people will know good is coming to me, that good news is on its way, and that we may outrun anything that is meant, that has been sent out to hurt those that we love. It's a simple little thing. It's not a long chapter, and there's, Lord knows, there's a lot of backstory to it. But, you know, this young man felt left behind is what he was. And sometimes we start out from behind, don't we? He didn't get to go with the army to fight the battle. He didn't get to go with the king to protect him. He didn't get to go to these, there were two great places to be, and he felt stuck. Sometimes we can feel stuck where we are. We feel like, man, the good things happening are here, or the good things happening are over there. And we are the ones that like have to stay behind with the old man and the stuff. But it was positioning. Always it comes back to positioning. He was positioned so that when the news broke, he was the one who could run with the news. May there be somebody ready to run with good news toward us. And may we be ready to run with good news for others, that we may apply that same heart we saw in Ahimaaz to ourselves, that what is in us is good and wants to outrun the bad. May your good news outrun your bad this year, and may you be known for the shadow that you cast. Let's pray. Gracious and everlasting Father, we are so grateful for our time together in your scriptures. Just a little moment to look, to see, to understand. May you open the scriptures that we have seen today, not just to our understanding, but to our very heart. May every one of us this year have our good news overrun our bad news. And may we be as Ahimaaz, always ready to run. Don't hold me back. Let me run. Whatever my assignment, whatever it is, when I've been held back to position me for something, when that moment comes, may I be ready to run. And may they know from afar that if it's me coming, there's good news. God, I ask you to let each one of us who spent time in your scriptures today be uplifted, be encouraged, and be ready to run and cast a shadow of good news in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking forward to being with you again next week. God bless you.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
You for joining God in the Myth, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, discovering God's hidden treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Myth airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. 4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him